So welcome to Greenwich Cottage Podcast, episode 2.
We made it 2 times already.
We've done it 2 times. You've made it this far. Please don't leave now.
Don't give up on us. We'll probably only get better.
I mean, hopefully we'll only continue to get better. I analyzed myself in the first episode, and I want to say 2 things. One, I am going to work on how much I say Please don't point it out, and please don't give up, just because I tried to edit out as much as possible, but I said it so much. I'm so sorry. It was so tiring.
It's just organic, you know? It just flows out.
We're also just stoners, so I want to say, take whatever expectations you have for this show and cut them in, like, half for me, because... You know, think of what, yeah, like.
My brain is moving at 0.5 speed.
And with only like 2 brain cells. So give me a break, please. But I'm going to do my best. On that note, I do want to say, in the last episode, I mentioned an email at the end that is no longer of use. So don't email that one. If you did, resend the email to the new email, greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. So scratch the first one and email any questions, comments, concerns, corrections, or suggestions to that email. That is all the notes I currently have.
Well, that was a nice little update. Good to take care of some housekeeping, if you will.
Business.
The only important news I have to share is that I have a new true crime notebook.
Yay.
I write pen and paper. Raina does so really retro. Big font notes in Google Notes, like a teleprompter. But my new notebook is fuzzy on the outside.
So slay.
It has a little kitty cat with heart-shaped sunglasses, also fuzzy. It's adorable. It's from Five Below. And it is filled with gruesome things.
Also, another note, real quick, I saw the Barbie movie. It was great. I think everyone should go. If you have mommy issues, you will cry, though.
Oh my God, I'm loving this and dreading it at the same time.
I was not expecting it because I didn't let myself look at anything before the premiere.
Did your whole, like, life change on its axis?
I wouldn't go that far. It was great. I thought it was amazing. It was so good. And, I mean, I was also just really excited because it was Pretty Tony premiere. Like, that was just the icing on the cake.
Sounds like so fun.
It was so fun. Everybody got dressed up and super cute. Casey looked amazing, and she made her entire outfit, and she's so incredible and talented, and I love her so much.
That's awesome. I was looking at the Spirit Halloween yes. line of
Same.
Barbie things that are coming out, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to take that pink jumpsuit number
yeah.
and wear that as like coveralls to work every yeah. day.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great idea.
Dazzle it a little. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for the Bratz revival, because if the Barbie revival yes. happened, you know a Bratz revival is coming. I
was definitely they a Bratz girl.
They have to do it. They have to do something where Bratz come to life or something. Like they simply have to. Anyway.
Speaking of Halloween, have we seen Lana Del Rey working at a Waffle House?
What is that about? I didn't look into it.
I have no idea what it's about.
Oh, okay.
But how slay would that be for a Halloween costume? Waffle House. Yeah. Lana. With the little oh my name God, what tag. A moment. Oh my God, that'd be so cute.
What a moment.
Okay, carry on.
We've got a good list of contenders for Halloween this year so far. I'm looking forward to to what everybody brings to the table.
You know, we could always do like a 30 days of Halloween, you know?
Yeah.
31. I don't care. I'll wear as many fucking costumes as I can.
Anyway, now that we're getting excited about Halloween in July, let's move on to what you're all here for. The meat of this podcast, if you will. Let's get to some true crime. Shall we?
Fuck it up, bestie.
Fuck it up. Okay. So my story is a missing persons case that is still open.
Ooh.
And when I first heard this, I was driving back to North Carolina from Florida, and I was listening to one of my favorite true crime podcasts. That's Why We Drink.
I haven't listened to that one.
They're really good. They're one of the first ones I ever really got into. I saw them live.
Ooh,
one
fun.
Year. I got to do the meet and greet. They were really sweet.
Love that.
I have a huge crush on M, one of the hosts. So I blabbered and said that when I met them.
Aww, but that's they have adorable. A
partner. They have a partner. So, and I do too. So it's just at the time I didn't, but I do now. So it doesn't matter. Anyway. Now that I'm done embarrassing myself. Anyway, I was listening to this story on the episode that they did it on, and I had to stop listening to it because I got so freaked out.
Oh, man.
I don't really get spooked very easily. I can listen to true crime pretty normally. It's not... I'll still react, but I don't ever get so spooked that I have to turn it off or that I have to change it. Or anything like that. So I was really surprised. And it might have been, you know, the effect of driving at night in the middle of a highway. It can get kind of like spooky feeling.
Oh, yeah. For me, I always get like the chills when I'm driving through like a secluded area that you don't know.
Yeah, it really freaks me out, honestly. It might have been that, but this story really just freaked me out. So I am doing The Vanishing of Bryce Laspisa.
I don't think I'm familiar with this case.
Yay.
And I am so excited for you to tell me. Yay. Because the only clue I had this week was that it was a missing person.
Yeah. And this was the start. This was the story I was going to start the podcast with.
Ooh.
But I got so sucked in to that show I was watching, The Secrets of Playboy, that I was I really want to do. How iconic would it be that our first episode is about a playmate? So, you know. I took the opportunity and I decided to just push this back. I will go back to some of the Playboy curse or centerfold curse and Hugh Hefner awfulness at some point, but I didn't want to bore you guys too much, so I decided to pick something new.
Yeah, sprinkle it in there. Let's hear it.
So Bryce Laspisa was born April 30th, 1994. He was the only child of Karen and Michael Laspisa. He was said to be pretty close with his parents. There isn't a whole lot of info on his childhood, though. Like, nothing extreme or standout happened in his childhood. He had a normal childhood, essentially. He was an artist who went to college for industrial and graphic design at Sierra College in Rockland, California. His parents lived in Laguna Niguel. I don't really know how to pronounce that. While he attended college, he did well in school, and his freshman year got together with Kim Sly. That was his girlfriend.
Ooh, Kim.
So he appeared to adore and love and respect her. Bryce's life seemed good and normal and totally fine. But then on August 27th, the day after Bryce started the new semester, Kim noticed a strange shift in his behavior and started to get kind of concerned. Started to notice he was acting really strange and just like wasn't really sure what was going on. So it's not clear, like I couldn't find anything on why, like what he was doing to make her concerned. She just started to get kind of like worried about him. But he had admitted to her that he had taken an ADHD pill that was not prescribed to him. So he started kind of abusing ADHD medication.
No bueno.
Yeah, no. So Bryce's roommate, Sean Dixon, claimed that Bryce had taken the drug Vyvanse to help him stay awake to play video games all night, and that he had also been drinking hard alcohol throughout the day.
That's a wicked combo.
Yeah, so he was drinking all day and then started taking Vyvanse to just stay up to play video games.
Well, not
to,
like, how else steady. Are you going to level up?
I guess that's true, you know? You got to play hard to win or something. Yeah. I don't know that saying. Bryce reportedly downed a bottle of hard liquor every weekend. That was me last summer. Not going to lie. Went through a rough time last summer.
So it could be like that sometimes.
It does. Life gets you. So that same day, Bryce's behavior grew even more concerning when he started to give away some of his belongings to friends.
Never a good sign, I don't think.
Yeah. So one of the things that he gave away was a pair of diamond earrings that were a gift from his mother. And on August 28th, Sean, his roommate, called Bryce's mother to express his concerns. So people were getting worried at this point that they were reaching out to his parents. So he told Karen that Bryce was acting out of character and that he had broken up with Kim via text that previous night. So just out of nowhere, up and broke up with this girlfriend that he seemingly loved and adored and respected. And he did it over text.
What a dick.
After giving away a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's really weird. So Sean, the roommate, ended up telling Bryce's mom that Bryce told Kim that she would be better off without him. So a little chilling to get in a text message.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So later that same day, Bryce had called Karen, his mom, from Kim's phone. Or no, from Kim's house. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So despite breaking up with her, he was at her house in Chico, which was about a 90-mile drive. Bryce insisted that he was okay, but Kim got on the phone and told Karen that Bryce wasn't acting like himself and she didn't think he should be driving. So she was really concerned and was like, I don't want him driving anywhere. He's being really strange. I don't know what's going on. We're broken up. I don't know why he's here. So concerned about her son's well-being, Karen offered to visit Bryce the next day, but he told her not to come and he reassured her that he was fine. So he's like, no, don't come out here. I'm totally fine. Don't even worry about it, Mom. Totally chill. Everything's great. He also told his mom that he wanted to talk to her, but he didn't tell her what about. After this conversation, the phone was returned back to Kim, and Karen told her to give Bryce his keys back and let him go home. But she was like, I'll let your ex-girlfriend give you your keys back, but only if you promise to call me in the morning.
I feel like she definitely didn't trust her gut on that one.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, she had to know that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, and especially if she claims that they were, like, close, then you would notice, like, the strange shift in your son. And after getting a phone call from his roommate, and then this phone call, you should start to be at that point, like, what's going on? This is unusual, especially if everything was, like, fine up until now.
Yeah, something's not right there.
Yeah. So at 11:30 p.m. Bryce left Kim's house. At around 1 a.m. on August 29th, Bryce called Karen, his mom, who assumed he was back at his apartment in Rockland. However, cell towers would show he had been heading further south past Sierra College and toward the mountains. So they didn't know that at the time, but later they found on the cell towers that he was actually already heading past the college. So he wasn't back at his dorm. So the following morning, Bryce's parents got an automated message from their insurance confirming that there had been a roadside assistance request placed for one of their vehicles. Confused, they tried to call Bryce, wondering if he had some kind of car trouble on the drive home from Kim's apartment, because they assumed that he was back at his dorm. They were really surprised to learn from Bryce's roommate that he never got home that night. So at that's the moment that they learn that Bryce never went home. They still don't know where he went, but they know that he never made it back to the dorm.
Oh, and so then later they looked it up and saw that he was going south.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Karen tried to reach Bryce on his cell phone, but he didn't answer. And looking online, they were able to determine the name of the auto shop that had come to help Bryce. they learned that Bryce had called roadside assistance around 9 a.m. from the small town. I love the name of this town. From the small town of Button Willow.
Oh, that's cute.
But Button Willow is more than 350 miles south of Kim's apartment.
And it that's was, a long time to yeah. be driving through the night.
Yeah. So it was clear that Bryce must have driven nonstop throughout the night to get there. Not being able to get a hold of Bryce, his parents called the small town auto shop to try and get any information. A man named Christian, who worked for Castor Tire and Gas, delivered 3 gallons of gasoline to Bryce. As he waited in his car, Bryce charged the $20 worth of fuel to his parents' credit card, and around 9:30 a.m. delivered him the fuel. At this point, he's driving all night from Kim's apartment. His parents think he already went home, but they get an automated message saying that there was roadside assistance. And then they find out from online documentation that it was at this specific auto shop. They call the auto shop. They're like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, I brought them gas at 9:30 a.m. Little recap. So Karen and Michael assume their son was on his way to visit them. So they were like, okay, he left Kim's and he's just coming to see us, I guess. That's, you know, that's fine. Cool. However, had Bryce stayed on that path, he would have made it home in less than 3 hours. So even if he was going that way, it doesn't explain the timing. When Karen and Christian were exchanging, you know, information, trying to figure out what's going on, Christian learned that Karen hasn't been able to get a hold of him. So Christian offered to drive back over to the rest area to see if Bryce was still there.
Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, so Christian didn't really expect to see Bryce. It had been almost 3 hours since the roadside assistance call, and he assumed that Bryce had most likely continued on to wherever he was going. But he was surprised when he pulled into the rest area and saw Bryce sitting in his car in the exact spot that he had been that morning.
Weird.
Bryce seems surprised to see Christian, obviously, because he's like, what the fuck is this guy doing here again? Even more so when Christian handed him his cell phone and told him that his mother wanted to talk to him. So this dude drove all the way back over there to find that he was still there and was like, bro, your mom wants to talk to you.
That's how serious it is when mama calls.
Yeah. So when Christian asked Bryce what he was doing, he simply replied, nothing.
Okay, that's not cryptic at all.
I know. It's just like, I think what gets me is like just picturing him like just sitting there in his car, like motionless basically for 3 hours. And then this guy comes up and he's like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, nothing.
Also, like 3 gallons of gas, I feel like isn't going to get you very far.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I have no comparison in my mind to what 3 gallons is worth. Actually, maybe I do, but I have a reference in my mind of what 3 gallons is worth. What I don't have a reference of is how much gas goes into a car, I guess.
Well, you know, I think most gas tanks hold 10 gallons, so that's less than half
okay.
of the tank.
Okay. Okay.
So that must be to like,
yeah.
Hey, I gotta stop at like the next exit yeah. that I find.
So
I
then just you was would like, assume,
ran out.
So then you would assume he's just sitting there with the car off, which to me is, I think, even creepier.
Right, because then the car would have died, like the battery would have died if yeah. he'd just been sitting there with it running for 3 hours.
Yes. So that's also kind of strange to me.
Yeah.
That makes me a little uncomfortable because then it's like he's just sitting there with the car off, not doing anything.
He's just been alone with his thoughts for 3 hours?
Why?
Crazy.
So Christian and the AAA guy informed Karen that Bryce seemed okay, though his eyes were a bit red. Maybe high, crying, tired. Probably tired if he drove all night and hasn't slept.
Shit, maybe all three.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So Karen finally spoke with her son at around 12:30 p.m. that afternoon. So remember, they got the notification like early in the morning, they find out that he needed assistance at 9:30 a.m. and they don't get a hold of him until 12:30 p.m.
So it's been like 13 hours since he left his girlfriend's house.
Yeah. So when she asked Bryce what he was doing, he didn't have an answer. Although Bryce offered little, like, information, his voice was clear and there was nothing to indicate that he was, like, intoxicated or anything like that. So since Bryce was only about 3 hours away from Laguna Niguel, Karen decided that the questioning could wait and that she just wanted him to get on the interstate and get to their house. And at that point, he would be home in a matter of like a couple of hours, like 3 hours for most if there's traffic. So they're like, you know what? Just like forget it. Just get on the interstate and get to our house. Come see us. So they would expect to see him home around 3 p.m. And Bryce agreed. 3 p.m. came. And Bryce wasn't there. So they waited around for 3 hours with no contact with him, thinking like, okay, you know, he'll be here at 3 p.m. 3 p.m. comes. He's nowhere to be found. For the next 6 hours, Bryce inexplicably ignored his parents' phone calls. When Karen and Michael tracked their son's cell phone, they discovered that he had only traveled 8 miles.
What?
Over the course of 9 hours.
What? Okay, I'm sorry, but I feel like after the first stretch of, like, disappearing and not answering the phone, like, I wouldn't trust him to get there.
Yeah, and it's like at that point, he's only 3 hours away. You know where he is. Just go get him. Yeah.
Okay.
But they're like, no, he's got it.
So he's like walking, I guess?
No, he's in his car. He just only drove 8 miles.
Is he driving it like Fred Flintstone?
Running his feet along the path. So it's not known why Bryce didn't answer the phone during this time. But by 9 p.m., the last pieces were terrified and like frantic and worried and just wanted to figure out what the fuck was going on. So with little else to do, they contacted the California Highway Patrol. They're like, can you like fucking go check on him or get him or something? Like, we don't know what's going on. He's been out for almost like 24 hours at this point and he's not going anywhere. We don't know what's happening. So the first thing the police did was call Bryce's cell phone provider and have them ping his phone to see if they could come up with his location. So once they did, it didn't take long to find him. Almost 10 hours after he had made the call to roadside assistance, Bryce was still in Buttonwillow.
I mean, what is he doing?
He's just sitting there. So he had filled up his gas tank like his mother instructed, but rather than get on Interstate 5, he had simply parked near it. So when the police arrived, the officer spent 20 minutes with Bryce and conducted a field sobriety test, which he passed. He wasn't intoxicated in any way. He told them they were welcome to search his car and they didn't find anything. No drugs, no alcohol, no weapons. He was polite and cooperative and told them he was just trying to blow off some steam before continuing his drive home.
Blow off some steam by being just catatonic?
I guess. Okay. And it's like if he doesn't have drugs... I've read a lot of theories about all of this, and I think he maybe went into psychosis and something happened, because how is he staying up all this time?
Right. That's a long time. With no
drugs in the car. How is he sustaining this energy with no drugs found in the car?
And being coherent enough to pass a sobriety test.
Like, he's not sleep deprived. He's not acting funny. He's not drunk. There's nothing that would lead to an explanation of why he is acting the way he is, other than maybe something psychological.
Right.
So he was 19 years old, a legal adult. And since he was neither inebriated nor transporting drugs, the police couldn't do much aside from telling him to call his mother and continue driving. But for some reason, Bryce was like incredibly reluctant about calling home. So the police physically dialed the phone number for him and made him talk to his mom around 10 p.m. because he refused to do it.
That's like trying to get a child to say hi to their grandma on the phone.
Say hi to grandma. No, say hi for me. Like, I don't.
Right.
You're already talking to her. It's fine. No, I don't want the phone. Hi, Grandma. So around 10 p.m., they physically dialed the phone, handed it to him, made him talk to his mom. So she asked him what he was doing, and he strangely replied that he was going to hang out with friends later.
What friends?
And
all the friends he's later? Made in Button Willow so far since he's been there all damn day.
And what do you mean later? It's 10 p.m. already. You're supposed to be going to your parents. Like, what is going on? But eventually the police say they don't see any reason for him not to be driving, and he seems like fine. So his mother instructs him to get something to eat and head their way. I don't know why she gave him more steps. Just make him get there. But Karen ends up calling Christian, the roadside assistance guy, to let him know that Bryce is still in Button Willow, but that he's okay. And I guess she was just like giving him an update, which I guess was sweet. But Christian generously offers to go check on him again and make sure he has, in fact, like actually left.
As he should have.
Yeah. And Karen is reluctant and says that he's fine and should be okay. But Christian's like, no, I insist. Let me go. Just make sure. So he goes, and within 15 minutes, Christian calls Karen to tell her that Brian is still in the same spot.
Oh, my God.
He still has not moved. So he told her that he would follow Bryce to the interstate to make sure he actually got on it. So Bryce seemed to realize that he wasn't going to get away with, like, not moving. So especially if the police had to, like, come back, they would probably maybe detain him or something at that point. So he's like, okay, fine. He bought a soda at a nearby gas station and told Christian that he was going to start driving home. So finally, more than 13 hours after he arrived there, Bryce left Button Willow and finally got on Interstate 5 to be on his way to his parents. Christian followed him for about 10 miles and didn't observe anything unusual about his driving. So he called Karen back to let her know that Bryce was finally on Interstate 5 and heading south toward them. So according to Bryce's GPS, he would have arrived at Laguna Niguel at 3:25 a.m. Over the course of the next few hours, they exchanged many phone calls, and Karen and Michael asked him to describe landmarks to ensure that he was, like, actually on his way this time. They're okay, like, you're not fooling them. Us.
They're starting to get the hang of this.
So they're like, you know, tell us street signs or road markers or anything. And he was, like, super evasive with the information, claiming that he couldn't see because it was too dark, but that his GPS said that he would be there by 3:25 a.m. So he's like, listen, I can't see anything, but don't worry, I'll be there by 3:25. I promise, bestie. So around 1:50 a.m., Bryce told his mother that he had briefly detoured off of the interstate. Bryce called his parents again at 2:09 a.m. to say that he was simply too tired to drive anymore. So he had decided to get off the interstate and take a nap. Good on him. That's smart. You don't want to drive tired. And at this point, it seems like he's been awake for over 24 hours. So yeah, get some sleep.
For sure.
So when they heard the doorbell ring at 8 a.m. the next morning, they were, like, thinking, okay, it's probably Bryce. Yay, he's home. But they opened the door to find a California Highway Patrol officer standing on their front door. Well, on their front door. On their front steps. And the police asked if they were the owners of a 2003 Toyota Highlander. And they were like, no, it's Bryce's. So the patrol officer had informed them that the car had been found at 5:30 that morning, wrecked and abandoned, on a paved access road leading to the Castaic Lake. Castaic? I don't know how to say that. Castaic Lake main boat ramp, about 2 hours away from the Las Pisas home.
I can just imagine, like, the dread in the pit of your stomach seeing that highway patrolman, like, yeah, just being like, oh my god, that's awful.
Yeah. So all of he had plummeted down a 25-foot embankment before smashing onto the road below.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So all of Bryce's belongings were still in the car, but there was no sign of Bryce. So for the second time in 12 hours, Michael and Karen had to report their son missing. So the back window of the vehicle had been broken out, but Bryce was nowhere to be found, and the police just assumed he was in the vehicle when it crashed, and he escaped by breaking out the back window. So there was some blood on the passenger headrest and on the back seat, but not enough to lead investigators to believe that Bryce had been seriously injured. There was also no blood on the outside of the car, so he wasn't bleeding enough for it to leave any sort of trail. So inside of the vehicle was Bryce's laptop, cell phone, and wallet. So a duffel bag was found in the back of the vehicle, and it was unzipped or on the ground. I don't know. I found a few different things that said it was on the ground. Some said it was in the car but unzipped, so I'm not 100% sure. So that led investigators to, like, come to the conclusion that he had removed something from it when he broke out the back window and escaped the crash. Which part of me is like, if they came and searched his car, they should have searched the duffel bag. And then they should have a report of what was in everything.
Right.
So they should know what was taken.
They had to look to see if it wasn't drugs.
Yeah.
So obviously they looked in it.
Yeah. So unless somebody didn't take note of it or they didn't actually check inside of it, I feel like there should be record of what was inside the bag and what was missing.
Right.
But it also did say there was no drugs, no alcohols, no weapons.
So it's none of those things.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the snacks.
Yeah, maybe it's that soda he bought. So every car traveling up this hill to pass, like, to get up to where he drove off of, has to pass by a surveillance camera that takes a photograph of each car's license plate. So at 2:15 a.m., just a few minutes after he told his mother that he was too tired to continue driving, Bryce drove past this camera. Then at 4:29 a.m., Bryce passed by the same camera a second time.
Going in the opposite direction?
It doesn't, the camera doesn't track as they come down the hill.
Oh, so he made like a big loop.
Yeah, so there's no way of knowing how long Bryce remained at the top of the hill the first time he drove up. It's also impossible to know what Bryce was doing and why he went up the hill a second time. So the exact time of the accident is unknown, but the wrecked car was discovered less than an hour after Bryce's car was seen heading up the hill a second time.
Weird.
So officers were on scene before 5:30 a.m., and there was no sign of anyone near the car at the time. So the search for Bryce began again and included officers on foot, horseback, four-wheelers, divers, bloodhounds, and cadaver dogs.
Oh my god, that is a, like, team.
Yeah, so they brought in, because it's like this, it's a big crash. Like, it's, one, strange that he came out basically unscathed.
Yeah,
absolutely. And two, where the fuck is he? So they had to bring in the whole squad to figure this shit out. So canine search teams traced Bryce's scent down Lake Hughes Road to a gas station and a truck stop. Interestingly, that's where it ended.
So he got in a car.
Yeah, so they were like, did somebody pick him up? Like, where did his scent trail go? So after several days of thorough searching and in and around Castaic Lake, which has a maximum depth of 300 feet, neither the divers nor law enforcement found any sign of Bryce. So there was no luck at that point, and they just had to stay hopeful and, like, keep searching. And on September 4th, 2013, just days after Bryce went missing, police responded to reports of a fire near Castaic Lake, close to Bryce's last known location. So when they arrived, they were shocked to find charred human remains. And a lot of people obviously expected them to be Bryce's, but it was ultimately determined that they did not belong to Bryce.
Okay.
So still no body. So they're continuing their search. And ultimately there's no luck, and eventually the last pieces got tired of the police not making any headway. So they hired a private investigator. But unfortunately the private investigator's efforts failed and didn't turn up any new evidence. However, the private investigator concluded that Bryce likely suffered a head injury during the accident, and that could have resulted in amnesia or fugue state, and, like, could have led him to wander away disoriented. So in 2015, Karen and Michael hired a sonar specialist to conduct another search of Castaic Lake, but nothing came back. So there have been many unconfirmed sightings of Bryce over the years reported from states like Oregon, California, and Texas. However, in the years since he vanished, there has been no activity on Bryce's bank account, credit cards, social security number, or passport. So the police initially believed that Bryce like probably took his own life, as his behaviors in the days leading up to his disappearance indicated the possibility of suicidal thoughts. They also believed that it was possible he decided to walk away from his life and start over somewhere new.
I was kind of thinking that.
Police do not think he died from his injuries in the incident. Considering his substance abuse reports and erratic behavior, it's also possible, they think, that he experienced like some form of psychosis or some sort of psychotic break and is living off-grid in a debilitated state of mind, or started life as a whole new person, seemingly still in psychosis. So his parents never entered the like never entertained the theory that their son willingly chose to flee his life and family. Karen Las Pisa said he never ran away from home. There was never any problem big enough that would make Bryce literally want to walk away from his life. He loved us too much and we loved him too. But I do want to note, just because I want to include all the information that I have, I did do some deep diving on Reddit, as one does when finding this kind of information.
Oh, of course.
And I remember seeing posts from people claiming that they knew the family and that they were not as close of a family as the parents are trying to portray, that she was somewhat abusive and controlling. And these are all just claims from like random strangers, so they could be absolutely false. But you know, there's claims that she was just kind of like very overbearing in the family, and it's possible that he wanted to just kind of run away from her or, you know, whatever. But I do want to just like note that there is like note of that. I don't know how true any of it is. It could all be like total bullshit.
Well, I mean, the whole thing kind of sounded weird to me because of how many times she kind of failed him in that. Well, that sounds harsh, but like I feel like when the roommate called, when the girlfriend said no, like,
yeah, I feel she like they maybe should have been down. Yeah, I think they maybe should have been a little more proactive and actually helping him, because I don't really feel like they did. Maybe that's also harsh to say.
Yeah, and for all the amount of time that he was only 3 hours away.
Yeah, that you couldn't have gone to get him or
like
check
they could
on
have
him
gone
or
and been back twice.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of strangeness going on, I think, with the parents. I remember I rented like the entire, I of course didn't make a note of it because I did it forever ago. But I rented an episode of some show, I'm forgetting what it is now, that was basically a little documentary on this whole situation. And I remember people commenting and being like, the way this mom is telling the story is so strange, and you know, she seems really disconnected. And some people were like, oh, it's trauma, you know, she lost her son, of course she's gonna seem disconnected. And like,
right, everyone grieves in their own way.
Yeah, so I don't know, I remember like I did a really big deep dive into this because it was just such a chilling thing to me that he seemingly just poof, just disappeared. And if he did start anew, how the fuck did he get away with not having a social security card, not having any activity on that?
Right, like, unless he's just living homeless.
I mean, I guess that's true. There are a lot of people, every time they see like he's a redheaded male, every time they see a redheaded male homeless person, they're like, oh, maybe it's Bryce. But anyway, so I found an update of 2023.
Ooh,
which I hadn't
update
found
us.
Yeah, so the Find Bryce Las Pisa Facebook page reported a credible sighting of Bryce in Missoula, Montana in 2022. So a photo of the man, who appeared to be a carbon copy of an older disheveled Bryce, went viral online. Detective Ethan Smith investigated the lead, tracking the doppelganger down, and he said, I was able to verify his identity and it's not Bryce. Unfortunately, it was not Bryce.
That That's disappointing.
Yeah. So the detective later said, I believe the photo being circulated of the young man on the bike in Missoula who looks like Bryce is this guy, but sadly it isn't Bryce. I was astounded by the resemblance between the two. So far there's no current confirmation that he's still alive. There's a lot of debate on Reddit also that he clearly committed suicide, but then there's the argument of where's the body.
Can we circle back around to, like, so there was just some charred human remains and that, like, wasn't related at all? Where does that fit into this? That was just as strange as the rest of the story.
Fair point. It's a fair point. That's true. Yeah, I guess I should have looked into that, but I did not. I was just like, oh,
you know. Raina said, fair enough.
My whole thought was like, oh my God, thank God it wasn't Bryce. But then I didn't. Yeah. Girl, whatever. I didn't stop to think, oh man, there's another human being that was maybe missing and is now charred human remains. So that's on me. My bad. Should have been a little more empathetic in the moment.
I think I'm just nosy.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm also very nosy. I'm very nosy.
Oh my God, what a story.
I do want to say, if anyone has any information about the case, you can call this number, 949-292-4400. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department can be reached at 323-890-5500. And you can also send photos to his family at findbrycelesspisa@gmail.com and get updates on the Facebook page. There's also a lot of updates that go around on Reddit. Some people will post if they like see him or something, or think they see him. So if anybody has any information, this case is still open and this family is still hoping to find him, or if anything, at least just get some closure on what happened to him. So
yeah, I can't imagine how frustrating that must be to not only not have answers, but not even to have
anything
yeah, like a likely explanation, or, you know, just the everything was so up in the air with that.
It was really chilling to me, the just like stoicness of him just sitting there for hours, like doing what?
Thinking about life, I guess.
And that's why a lot of people were like, obviously, it was suicide, because he sat there and contemplated it forever. And it's like, again, where's the body?
Yeah.
Did somebody pick him up and then he just hitchhiked somewhere and did it? And then, again, at that point, somebody would still find a body.
Right.
So it's all just really strange. I did recently see, I think it was somewhere in Florida, I have to double check about it. I saw it the other day. 3 suitcases were found in the ocean filled with human remains.
Oh my God.
I am going to look into that because one of my friends in Florida posted about it. So maybe one of them is. I actually probably shouldn't say that. I might cut that out.
Well, you know, I'm guessing the gas station that that the scent ended up at clearly didn't have cameras or anything. Otherwise, they would have been able to, like, look and see what the hell happened.
I don't know. It was really strange. I thought it was very chilling and creepy.
No, I can see why that stayed with you.
Yeah. Also very sad. So, yeah, that was the vanishing of Bryce Laspisa.
Wow. Well, I did neither a missing persons nor a murder. I did something also sort of recent. Have you heard anything about the Harvard corpse scandal?
Harvard corpse scandal?
Yeah, 3 words you didn't expect to hear together.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of that.
Okay, great. Then this will be fun.
Oh, boy.
And since this is open, nobody has gone to court yet, I just want to preface this by saying, a very large blanket, allegedly.
Okay.
Everybody is innocent until proven guilty. Don't sue me.
Don't sue us.
Don't sue us.
We're too broke to be sued. You're not going to get much. Please don't do it.
Yeah, we really value our Squishmallows. And...
We really do. I cannot part with these guys. No. They saved my life, quite literally, honestly. So
last month, that's how recent this is. The manager of the Harvard Medical School morgue for anatomical gifts was arrested on charges of stealing human remains.
Oh my
to
God.
Resell.
Black market
oh bodies, baby. God. He has been the manager of the morgue for since 1995.
Oh no.
That's literally 28 years. Almost 30 years he's been the manager there. They said he, from 2018 to 2022, he was doing this. He was selling these body parts. And, you know, obviously these are people who have donated their bodies for science and medical research.
Yeah, not for selling on the black market.
Right. You know, that is an important cause. And these body parts were stolen before they were cremated. And taken to his home in Goffstown? I think it's Goffstown, New Hampshire. He was literally just bringing them home.
Nobody, like, there's no security there to, like, notice? Or was he just really sneaky about it? Like, how did he get away with just taking these things?
Why would you question the dude who's been there for 30 years? And, you know, this is just the past 5 years.
Yeah.
So for, you know... A solid at least 20 years he's been on his best behavior. I guess nobody just, I don't know. I guess he just walked right through. And his wife, Denise, is allegedly in on it as well.
Oh.
And together they would sell and ship remains, like, out of the state. And they were doing it through the United States Postal Service.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Love that.
There are a couple other people that were named in this indictment. Buyers like Katrina McClain, Joshua Taylor, and Jeremy Pauly. These are the people who resold the remains for a profit.
Oh my God.
Things
it's a whole
like
ring.
It is. It's an international market.
Oh my God.
Things like heads, brains,
oh my
skin,
God.
Bones. Katrina McClain, she is the owner of Cat's Creepy Creations in Massachusetts.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Yeah, don't shop there, I guess.
Don't shop there. If you're going to buy bone jewelry and things like that.
It might be real unethically sourced human bones.
Yeah, make sure you're getting things from a reputable buyer. It is also alleged that the lodges allowed these buyers into the morgue to pick out body parts specifically.
Oh.
And one of the only, like, specific things that I saw was Katrina McClain purchasing not one, but two dissected faces in October of 2020. For guess how much? Let's play The Price is Right.
Is it a lot?
How much do you think two dissected faces go for?
$10,000 each.
Wrong. In total, $600.
What the fuck? That's it?
That's it! I feel like if I could reasonably afford a human face, that's too cheap for it to be.
That's too cheap.
If I could do it, no.
But I mean, I guess if you're getting from the black market, sometimes you find things for cheaper.
Well,
I don't know where else you would get that.
And I'm sure she resold it for a lot more, but, like, damn, dude, you're risking your 30-year well-paid job?
Also, who
for
bought...
For 600
who,
bucks?
Hold on, who bought them from her?
Great question. Fantastic question. Wish I knew the answer to that one.
Because aren't those people man. Should be questioned just as much?
I would assume so.
Because, like, why do you want...
Unless they didn't know. Unless it was
But either way, why do you...
pretended to be something else.
Why would you want two very real looking skinned faces?
That's a great question.
And whose faces are they?
That reminds me of an old YouTube video called Llamas with Hats. Do you remember that one?
Llamas with Hats, yeah.
Carl. He's like, Carl, you can't eat people's faces, Carl. Anyways, in July of 2021, Katrina McClain allegedly shipped human skin to Jeremy Pauly. Apparently Pauly. He's like good at tanning things for leather.
Oh my God. Like a real life leather face.
This wasn't the faces. Oh, I don't think.
Gotcha.
But like she wanted something made of human leather.
Oh my God.
So she like sent him the skin for him to process.
I am a lover of spooky things. I have pinned bugs hung up in my home, and I love animal bones, and I have almost bought a human skull before that was ethically sourced, but
alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well.
Real leather or real human leather for me, I think, takes it a bit too far.
Yeah, there's a fine line.
Yeah, and that one is too out there for me, I think, a little bit. Do you want to spark up?
Yeah, let's spark up. Okay. We didn't take a break yet.
No, we didn't. We just jumped right into yours. Let's take a quick little breather real quick and spark up a little.
My favorite true crime podcast is called True Crime and Cocktails.
Cute.
I like those ladies. Shout out Lauren and Christy.
I really like it. That's why we drink, because they're pretty funny. And the co-host that I have a crush on, or the host that I have a crush on, used to be a paranormal investigator.
Oh wow, that's bitchin'.
Also went to clown college, which I think is sick.
Love that. We're back.
And
we're
stoned.
Yeah. For me, I'm probably a better person. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, for the entire, 4 years that the lodge's operation was going on, the articles I read talked about Katrina McClain the most, but it said she paid more than $37,000 electronically to them. Yeah, that's a lot of body parts. Especially if a face only goes for $600.
God, yeah.
Two faces.
Yeah, you profited off that shit.
There's another woman who was indicted as well, named Candace Chapman Scott. She was already indicted, though, in Little Rock, Arkansas, for stealing remains before cremation from the mortuary that she worked at.
Oh my God.
So
what is wrong with these people? Let these people die in peace.
She girl bossed a little too close to the sun. In a particularly
hard bestie.
Yeah, in a particularly heinous thing that she stole, were two stillborn babies.
Oh my God.
Instead of giving the cremains back to the family.
Jesus Christ.
I know. That is so heartbreaking.
That's insane.
I don't know how you can live with yourself.
Oh my God. Ugh.
Yeah. She is one of the people who also sold to Jeremy Pauly, and she was indicted on mail fraud, wire fraud, and interstate transportation of stolen property. And also being a shitty person.
Yeah. Live with it.
Scott's lawyer says she has pleaded not guilty.
What the fuck?
Yeah, well, she's going to have a mental health evaluation. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's good, but
geez. Like, not to get out of being shitty, though.
Yeah.
So, The Ledges, Katrina McLean, Joshua Taylor, and Jeremy Pauley were indicted by a federal grand jury in Pennsylvania on charges of conspiracy, interstate transport of stolen goods. So they didn't get the, like, mail fraud one.
They're like, no, we were pretty upfront when we were mailing it.
Yeah, they just like, used we labeled the postal it right. service.
Yeah, we labeled it right. We I put enough stamps on it. I guess you guys thought it was fake or something? I don't know.
Yeah, this is a whole, like, nationwide network that they were operating on, getting rich on. So, two of the deans at Harvard, in a statement, called it a betrayal of the Harvard Medical School, and most importantly, each of the individuals who altruistically chose to will their bodies through the anatomical gifts program to advance medical education and research.
They're like, damn, guys. We're super sorry.
Yeah.
They're like, our bad.
We didn't know that was going to happen.
And they're like, whoopsie.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. They're like, oh, man. Guess you can't trust anyone these days, huh?
Whoopsie. Yeah. And, you know, I love my oddities as much as the next gal. But, yeah. You know, that's too much.
Yeah, that's also, like, I don't know, super disrespectful. Like, I love my oddities, but I'm also super respectful about my shit. Like,
it kind of reminds... Do you remember that, like, Tumblr sixpence thing?
Tumblr?
It's like...
Sixpence?
I feel... I think it was, like, an account that was, like... all creepy stuff, and then like it came out that they tried to order like a human finger or something.
Oh my god.
I don't know. This is like so deep in the recesses of my brain.
I was on a weird side of Tumblr, but I still never saw that. I might have been on Tumblr a little later though. I was on that side of Tumblr a little later.
Yeah, this is like definitely before my prefrontal cortex stopped developing.
Yeah, no, when I was on traumatum time. When I went to, I got Baker acted and got put into a psychiatric center. I bonded with this girl over the fact that we both had. I'm realizing if my parents listen to this, they're gonna realize what I was doing on that computer in the living room. I used to have a gore porn Tumblr account.
OMG, OMG.
When I was like 13 or 14.
As one does.
So I had like mutilated bodies and like a lot of images of blood and like, yeah, I don't know what was going on.
Wow, bestie.
I'll probably cut that out.
Creepy sock time.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've seen some weird stuff on Tumblr, might I say, but I never saw that. So that's interesting.
You know, that could just be how I'm remembering it. Yeah. That was so long ago, like 10 years ago. There's been a lot of marijuana since then. That was my little, Harvard morgue story.
Jesus Christ. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys.
Anyways, I wanted to give a little update on Miss Carly Russell because a lot has happened since 1 week ago when we recorded the first episode.
Yeah. And it'll have been because we are releasing this on July 1st. So it'll have been 2 weeks since we had recorded the first episode.
Gotcha. So 2 week lag.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, July 19th, 2:30 Central Time, the Hoover Police did a press release because we had so many questions following Carly's return to her home in Hoover. And police said they have no evidence to substantiate the claims from Carly's interview. She gave an interview to police the night she was found. And in that interview, she described a man with orange hair and a bald spot coming from the trees, mumbling about checking on the baby that she reported seeing on the highway.
Yeah.
He then threw her over his shoulder and climbed over a fence and forced her into a car, where she was driven to a location before being transferred to a trailer of an 18-wheeler. While she was in the back of that 18-wheeler, she could hear the voice of a woman and a baby crying. She said she escaped because she was blindfolded, but they didn't tie her up, and they said it was because they didn't want to leave impressions on her wrists. So she escapes, they catch up to her, and they put her in a car again and bring her to a house where she was forced to undress, and she believed they may have photographed her. She said the woman fed her cheese crackers and played with her hair. And
how nurturing.
Yeah, very nurturing. And in the morning, she was transported by car again, where she escaped and ran through the woods in the direction of her home.
So she just knew immediately where she was and just ran home.
Yes. That is not what the police have reported.
Yeah.
What we do know is that on that Saturday night interview, Carly had a small injury on her lip, a tear in her shirt, and $107 cash in her sock.
Nice.
Yes. Upon looking at surveillance video from the day spa that she worked at, they saw that on the day of her abduction, she stole a bathrobe, toilet paper, and other items from the day spa.
Okay.
Which were not found in the car.
Interesting. So she took them with her.
Correct.
Okay.
She then ordered food from a restaurant called Tzatziki's for her family. Love that place. Went there a lot when I lived there. Just saying. And then stopped at Target, where she bought granola bars and Cheez-Its.
Those are the cheese crackers.
Mm-hmm. Before getting on the highway and making that 911 call.
Now, so she prepped.
Now, if you'll recall, I do believe I said last week that there was a little bit of a time discrepancy between when she left work and when she made the phone call. And that's where Target comes in.
Yeah. Good old Target, man.
These snacks were also not found in the car.
Yeah, so she took them with her. I also, I looked some stuff up after you called me.
Oh, yeah, I called Raina very concerned when I started to realize which direction this was heading.
Yeah, like, she was like, she lied about it. She's like, I don't know if I want to tell people. And I was like, no, you have to tell people. I was like, she still committed a crime. We're a crime podcast. I looked into it after we got off the phone. And I watched the police report press release a little bit. And I saw that there were Google searches on her computer.
Yes, I was just about to get to that. Yeah. I'm
like, okay, then I'll let you get to it, but.
Well, let me tell it, and then I would love to hear your thoughts on them.
Okay, yes.
So, the police were able to go through her phone since it was left in the car, on the ground, I believe. And on the Tuesday following her Thursday abduction, she searched the phrase, "You have to pay for Amber Alert." On Thursday, she searched the phrase,
"Do you?
How to take money from a register without being caught." She searched for a one-way ticket from Birmingham to Nashville that day. And she searched the movie Taken.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm not sure if you have to pay for an Amber Alert. I actually don't know the answer to that. But I would like to point out that that's for children.
Yes. Okay, I did not think that. Not when
you're 25.
Yeah, I did think that's what it was. Because I was like, you really only see Amber Alert for children.
Right, because when it's an elderly person, it's a silver alert. So I don't know what it is when it's just a regular in the between. So obviously the police have lots of questions, but they have been denied a second interview by Carly and her family. They also released a 911 call. Oh, they actually have released all of the 911 calls at this point, I think. It's a little bit more up to date than when I wrote this. So there was the call from when she came back home, and the police and 911 was called when she returned, which said she was unresponsive but breathing. Which obviously from the Ring camera footage of her neighbors, we can see she was running to her house.
Yeah.
Responsive.
Yeah.
And then there's the Red Roof Inn call, which is also very strange. So I believe it was the same day.
Yeah.
There's a call between dispatch and an officer who is heading to a Red Roof Inn motel and saying, that Carly's family reported that they had received a call from her from that place.
Wow.
And that he was on his way there, and there was about 6 carloads of family members.
What the fuck?
There. But then they denied that it was true, or that it was real. And then later that night, she came back. Is mm-hmm. what I believe happened.
Wait, what? So from the Red Roof Inn, she called who?
Members of her family.
Okay, so she called members of her family.
To say she was there.
And 6 carloads of people went there.
Yes.
And then later everybody denied that it happened.
Or they denied that, like, oh, well, it wasn't real. Like, it wasn't true. Like, she wasn't actually there.
Oh, okay. So she called from there to be like, hey, I'm here. They show up and she's not there.
Right. Or like somebody put in a fake caller, you know.
Okay,
that's,
gotcha.
That's what they were alleging. Is that, gotcha. Oh, no, it wasn't real.
Gotcha, okay.
And then I think at this point they have also released her 911 call about the baby, but I haven't listened to that.
I listened to a little bit of that one.
Did you?
Yeah, she was pretty calm. She was just like telling them, like, there's like a toddler on the side of the road. I don't know what. And, like, described what the toddler looked like and said that she didn't see anybody around. I stopped listening to it because it was pretty much just, like, a stand. Like, that's, you know, how it would expect a phone call about that situation to go.
Okay, so, like, nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I think, if I'm remembering correctly from your story last week, you said that it was her sister that heard her scream on the phone, or was it the 911?
Her brother's girlfriend.
Her brother's girlfriend heard the scream on the phone.
Yes.
Okay, that's right. Because I was like, there wasn't anything interesting in the police phone call. Because what the interesting thing that happened was on somebody else's end. So
right. Last week, I was saying how the boyfriend had made this long post mm-hmm. saying how she had been fighting for her life and all that.
Yeah.
After she has come home, he has deleted every picture of her.
Ooh.
She is no longer on his page.
Ooh.
And I read today that she has been let go of from that spa.
Dang. Well, I mean, she did steal, so.
Yeah, so I feel really bad. I think this may have gotten way out of control.
Yeah.
To a point that, you know, couldn't be stopped anymore.
Yeah.
Very quickly. And this is a really big event that has kind of made everything implode.
Yeah, this is going to haunt her for a while.
And it's such a bad situation on all fronts.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that everyone is alive.
Yeah, no, and she's safe. Yeah. Hopefully she will get someone to talk to or something to dissect why she went to that. But I guess all we can do is hope for the best for her and some healing and Yep.
Good vibes, light candles.
Yeah.
All that good witchy stuff.
I guess so.
Speaking of witchy stuff.
Speaking of witchy stuff, you guys want to learn a spell?
Raina's really excited to tell you guys this
one. I am. I personally, right now, for me, myself, think this will be very useful. And I do plan to do this one. I haven't done it yet, but I do plan to try it out. So I found basically a shut the fuck up spell, which is going to help with if you want people to like leave you alone, like bill collectors, or if you're feeling bothered by somebody, or if you feel like people are like talking shit about you or like spreading rumors behind your back, this spell will help kind of alleviate any of that, hopefully.
I feel like everybody needs that, like, yeah. Every once in a while.
Yeah, because sometimes people just, you know,
want to bring you down. I probably need that, like, once a month.
Yeah. People just want to bring you down sometimes. Sometimes you want them to shut the fuck up. So, I got this spell from the TikTok user Riot Adams. And I think he's great. He uses all his own spells, basically, which I think is super cool.
I love that. I love intuitive magic.
Yeah, and I love modern day usage of magic. So I think this is great, and he's a great creator, so everybody should go give him a follow. So the ingredients that you will need for this spell are clove, like some cloves. You can just get whole cloves at the grocery store. Some basil. It could be ground basil. It can be whole basil, alum powder, and poppy seeds, and a candle. And you can also use a bay leaf to write on if you don't want to write on the candle or don't have a candle that you can write on. A bay leaf works fine, and you can burn the bay leaf on top. So what you're going to do to perform this spell is you're going to either get a bowl or a little candle dish, and you are going to put some cloves, a couple spoonfuls, or if you don't have a whole lot and you want to preserve it, it's all about intention. It doesn't really matter how much you use. Use measure to your heart's content for these.
Feel it with your soul.
Yeah, so just go with it. So put in a bowl or candle holder, put some cloves, basil, alum powder, and poppy seeds in the container and mix it all up a little bit. And then you are going to take the candle or your bay leaf if you decide to just write and burn the bay leaf. Totally fine. Just get a Sharpie or any sort of writing utensil and write a, like, maybe like a truth sigil or just a variation of shut the fuck up, because that's what you're going to do on the candle also. You're going to do the same thing. Put a variation of shut up on it, or stop talking about me, basically, on the candle. And then you're going to put it on top of all your little mix-ins of seasonings and stuff. You're going to put it right on top of that. And you're going to burn the candle. And you're either going to burn the bay leaf, or you are going to let the candle burn and soak up all that stuff.
I love all those ingredients, because that's just like a smorgasbord of chaos.
I also want to mention that you can feel free to use color magic with your candle. Use whatever color you want. You could just use a white one if you wanted to. Also, I think maybe adding some tiger's eye in there if you think people are like spreading lies about you. Tiger's eye is really good for truth seeking, so you could put that on there to maybe stop some false rumors about you. So
tiger's eye is one of my favorite crystals.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I think it's so pretty, too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have my own little version of that spell.
Yay.
Which is what I love about magic, is that so everybody has their own way of doing it. It's so personal to you.
Yeah.
And in this one, you take some clay and mold it into the shape of a tongue.
Oh, I think I've heard of this one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then you carve their name into it, mm-hmm. the person that you want to shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do some, like, lemon juice,
mm-hmm. real
some
sour.
Salt, yeah. Bitter. Yeah. some spicy and put some like cayenne on it and then roll it up away from you.
Okay.
Roll the tongue up away from you and take some twine and like bind it.
Mm.
And just let it sit there.
Jeez. That one sounds a little more evil than mine. Which, I mean, feel free to use whichever method you find works best for you. As we have stated already in the last episode, and as we will continue to state, a lot of modern day magic is about trusting your gut, using your intuition, connecting within yourself, trusting yourself, and being confident in yourself. So always bring that to the table when performing any sort of spell, doing any sort of spiritual work, anything like that. And just be open and, yeah.
Absolutely. It all comes from within.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was episode 2, you guys. Thanks for hanging out again. Hopefully you liked it enough to wait a week for the next episode. We did it.
We gave you some cool stuff today, so you should be so excited to see what we'll have next time.
Yeah, so hopefully you come back. And if you did like the episode, share it with everybody you know, please. Everybody. Bother everybody you know and tell them about how great you think this is. And tell them to listen to it also.
Yeah, and then like tell them to join the fun about it.
Yeah, and talk about it. And talk about how crazy the things we just talked about are with other people. And then talk about it with us. And the way you can do that, I'm going to mention it again because I had to fix it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, corrections, or suggestions, you can send them to greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And if you want to stay updated with some of our stuff, I guess, you can follow our Instagram at GWCpodcast. And that was episode 3.
Holler at us.
Or episode 2. Oh my God. I can't believe I already did that. So that was episode 2. Not episode 3. That was episode 2. And yeah, thanks for joining us, guys.
Make sure you light up and look out.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.